I'm so happy to be able to share with you today. It's talk about hope. Talk about God, the hope that God has for us in Jesus Christ. I'd invite you to please grab your outlines that you have in your bulletins. I put the section from Luke in there so we can see, have that in front of us. And I want to refer to a couple of the verses. But also want to mention the section from Isaiah, and specifically the wonderful counselor part. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together here. Lord, we thank you. Let your word, Lord, speak to us. Let it draw us closer to you. Let it give us, Lord, a picture of your great love for us, what you've done for us in Christ Jesus, Lord. May that inspire us and help us to witness and just be an example of that love and grace. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the goodness of your presence among us, Lord, in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when Isaiah saw and he gave this vision, he saw the Lord as a wonderful counselor. He's talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. And he's talking about the hope that Jesus Christ brings us. And hope is essential. We need to have hope. You and I need to have it. And it's difficult for us at times. But we cannot really live a moment without it. And I'm not talking about just optimism. I'm not talking about a positive, optimistic spirit. You know, where you kind of pump yourself up to try to make yourself feel good or better about the future. What I'm talking about, and we'll see it in Mary's reaction, is a true and lasting hope that is available to everyone. Everyone. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you're coming from, it is available to everyone. And it is a result of a personal and an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And as I say, Mary is a great example of this. Jesus is so much more than a baby that was born 2,000 years ago to some poor family in the middle of nowhere. There's something wonderful and beautiful about the Christ child. And when we discover this, we actually find hope that is lasting and strengthening us, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And can you imagine? So Mary's just there, and Mary is really nothing special, just a common person, poor family, and an angel shows up and says, "Oh, hey, God is coming to earth. The Messiah is coming. And that Messiah is going to come and live among us. He's going to take human flesh." Just stop and think about that for a second. That should really grip us. So we're talking God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. There is no religion in this world that thought up an idea such as that. That is crazy love. That is insane. That the very one that made us would actually take on human flesh. One reason why is because, who's afraid of a baby? Nobody's afraid of a baby. Babies are cool. You remember that if you have kids, the first time that you saw, remember that? I can remember that. Just, we have three, and they're growing up now, but I think about it, you know, the first time that you saw their face, saw their little hands. Oh, this is beautiful. What a gift. You know, nobody's afraid of a baby. It's a wonderful thing. You just want to hold it and care for it. But the thing is, too, with a baby, that means that God is going to grow up and he's going to feel and know and sense everything that we sense. He's going to understand. He's going to understand us to the core of our being. He's going to be able to relate to us. And this is the vehicle by which God wants to come into the world. This is how he wants to meet us. And he wants to give us this incredible, wonderful, hopeful relationship with him. And it's a good question to ask. How does that work? How is God going to develop that in us? And I think God, specifically in our gospel reading, there's some things that Mary does that are very significant for us, because Mary expressed a hope in what the Lord had promised. And there's some certain characteristics that I want to share with you about her that you see from the reading itself. Check it out in verse 38. She says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Now, I don't know how this hits you, but when I was reading this story and I was thinking about this text and this weekend and message and everything, you know, I've never seen an angel. Have any of you guys ever seen an angel? I've seen some pretty amazing stuff. You know, both in the, I mean, really just radical lives being changed. I've seen a lot of incredible miracles, a lot of things God can do, and He does, and will continue to do. But, I mean, she just saw the almighty angel Gabriel, highest, and other times when there's opportunities for people to see an angel or for them to have such an encounter like this, they're just petrified. And it does say she was petrified. But there is a contentment at the same way that she arrives at in an amazingly short period of time. By the end of the story, by the time the angel leaves, this is a relatively short period of time, she has got such a contented, peaceful attitude. I have to confess, that's not me. What gets you upset and worried? What are the things that can set you off? And you can get worried. Somebody can do some little thing or that little thing doesn't work out right and you can get all worried, you can get tense, you can get stressed. You know, and she's had this amazing, incredible encounter. And yet by the end of it, there is this amazing contentment that just reigns. And she says, you know, I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me fulfilled. You know, I believe the answer and an encouragement to us is in the verse right before that. Look at verse 37. And if you look at verse 37, it says, for no word from God will ever fail. I mean, that may seem to be stating the obvious, but really, it is true that when we are troubled, the true key to contentment, what's really at the heart of it, is knowing that God is with you, He's for you, He's in you to work for His good pleasure, and that is wonderful counsel of His will. And if I could only see that, if I and yourself, we could only see that and be more keenly aware of that every day, every hour, minute by minute, second by second. If we could have the understanding of the goodness of His counsel to us, the Lord counsels us to cast all our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And Mary, actually, in her interaction, is really acting out a verse that Paul shared with us in Philippians. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, you've probably heard this verse many times, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And she interacted with the angel. She asked the angel, straight up, just said, how's this going to happen? She's praying. She's talking to God. She's just giving that. She was stressed at first. She was full of anxiety. And she just, I got the angel here. I'm going to talk about this. I need to know. And so she cast it upon him right before him. And you notice like the angel just answered immediately. I didn't share the latter part of that verse. But the latter part of that verse, if you read on in verse 7 of chapter 4 of Philippians, check this out. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Mary's contentment came from believing and trusting in what the Lord said. That's where her contentment came from. She heard that, she received it, and she said, I believe this. And it flowed over with thanksgiving and praise. And actually, if you read on in the story, you read on into chapter 2, when she goes and visits Elizabeth, Elizabeth's comment to her confirms this exact same thing. She says, you are blessed. You are blessed. Why? Because you believed what the Lord had said. So since you believed it, you are blessed. It is the counsel that God gives us. It's the goodness of His grace. And I know that this time for us, I don't know how your Advent is shaken down, but we're like just starting Advent right now. And there's going to be office parties. One of our elders last night in the service was going off to an office party. And he had a sweater. Oh, I'm telling you, he got it on purpose. It just had this sand on it. It was intense. He said he could have got a lit up version. But I don't know, he didn't have batteries or something. I don't know what it was. But we just thought, that's really incredible. So all this stuff, and family coming over and food. Now, that's great, and it's a joyous time. But the reality is, it's a trying time, too. And the truth is, actually, over 40% of people in America find this the most depressing and difficult time of the year. It's true. We need hope. We need to find hope. Mary found that hope in trusting in God's promises, in talking to God straight up and sharing it with Him, and finding hope that gave her that contentment. And this is how it works. This is a relationship that God wants to have with us, wants to grow within us. There's also one other thing that's important to mention about Mary, that's important when we think about, really just that contentment. It involves humility. Mary expresses a very humble attitude. She just says, "Thank you for thinking of your humble servant girl." I mean, she doesn't say, "Find somebody else." She doesn't say, "I'm really busy." She doesn't say, "Hey, this is really going to trash my life," because it did. You think about their culture. This was really, really serious thing. A really very serious thing. I mean, her reputation is gone now. Can you imagine, coming and saying, "Here's a teenager. You're engaged. You're pregnant. Oh, okay. But Joseph's not the father. Okay. God's the father? Really?" I mean, this is just something that's going to be difficult to understand and challenging to go through. And you think about it, at the end, when she gets close to the birth, I can't think of any lady here, ladies that have given birth, can you imagine riding on a donkey, in your third trimester? I mean, you're getting really close and you're on this long donkey ride. I can't imagine that, It would be really hard. But, life is like that. Our times are like that. And we need hope. We need to have the sure and promises of God that are greater than what we are, greater than what we can be, greater than what we think, just something that is going to give us the encouragement that we need, and to stand on them, and to stand on them boldly. I think that is really absolutely important. In a nutshell, let me put it like this. I would say that the wonderful, beautiful hope, the hope that God wants us to have, is found in people who will dare to trust God's promises, who will put their faith and hope in Him and say, "I will stand. I will trust You. Even though I'm going through this horrible, difficult time, I will trust You. I will put my hope in You, Lord. I will cast my cares upon You because, Lord, You are worthy." And I like that verse. You can keep that in mind, that it says in verse 37, "For no word of God will ever fail." So take a look at the backside of the outline, because I want to share just some fuel for thought. One thing that's good for us to do is remember and treasure the things that God has done in the past. Sometimes, we go through difficult situations and we forget how many times God has helped us, how many times He has delivered us. He has done some wonderful, incredible things in your life. We are all trophies of grace. None of us are good enough. None of us are perfect enough. And God has helped us in so many ways. He has been there so many times. He has done those things specifically for you. We should list them down. We should have them in our minds. We should never forget them. Write them in your Bibles so that you know those things and you know that God is faithful. So when you are facing something, God's going to get me through this. He's done it before. He never changes. He'll do it again. And I will wait on Him. That's a powerful thing. And you think about, where do you need God's counsel in your life, in your marriage, in your career, in your school, with your kids. God wants to speak into that. Will you let Him speak? He is speaking into that. Mary listened. Mary wanted to hear what God was saying. She wanted to hear what God was going to do. And I know that Christ's strength is perfect. My strength is not. My strength is weak. It just doesn't measure up. And God's strength, Christ's strength, is so perfect at the right time, in the right place. And we can wait on Him. We can trust Him. And, you know, I think for myself and for you as well, where do we need God's strength in our lives? Strength to forgive. Strength to say we're sorry. Ooh, that takes a lot of strength. Strength to move on. These are things that God really encourages us to do that we can't, but we have the hope in our Savior that He is able to do that. And this is a work that He's doing among us. And I know He will continue to do that, as Philippians 1:6 says. He will continue that which He has done, begun in us, He will faithfully continue until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give You all our cares, all our burdens, and we ask that You would speak to us. That You would come to us, Lord, with Your promises, with Your encouragement, with Your direction, Lord. Even if that direction is difficult for us, Lord, we want to follow. We thank You for that. Thank You for Your help and Your strength to us and Your love to us that never fails, even in the face of our weaknesses and failures. In Jesus' name, amen.